गोकुलमनान्यगतिं निरीक्ष्या शास्त्रीकुमारामतिदुःखितम् आत्महेतो अज्ञायमारक्या पदवीम् अनुवर्तमाना स्थित्वा मुहूर्तमधिसार उरंगबन्धात्. The Lord remained for some time within the coils of the serpent, imitating the behavior of an ordinary mortal. But when he understood that the women, children, and other residents of his village of Gokul were in acute distress because of their love for him, their only shelter and goal in life, he immediately rose up from the bonds of the Kaliya serpent. Tatpantyamana papusavi patyatma bhogas chatvona maya kupitas vapanam bhujanga tasthos vasam svasasana randra visambarisha stabdheksha nok mukab mukho harim ikshamana. His coils tormented by the expanding body of the Lord, Kaliya released him. In great anger, the serpent then raised his hoods high and stood still, breathing heavily. His nostrils appeared like vessels for cooking poison, and the staring eyes in his face like firebrands. Thus the serpent looked at the Lord. Tam jivayad visakaya parilelahanam dve srikvani yatikarala visangi dristin kridan amum parisarasa yathaka gendro abhrama sopya vasaram prasamikshamana. Again and again Kaliya licked his lips with his bifurcated tongues as he stared at Krishna with a glance full of terrible poisonous fire. But Krishna playfully circled around him, just as Garuda would play with a snake. In response, Kaliya also moved about, looking for an opportunity to bite the Lord. Purport. Lord Krishna moved around the serpent so skillfully that Kaliya could find no opportunity to bite him. Thus the snake was defeated by Sri Krishna's transcendental agility. Evam paribrahma hatojasam unathamam sam anam yathat pratursira hariruda adya tanmurda ratna nikaras parashati thamra padambu jokila kaladi gururana narata. Having severely depleted the serpent's strength with his relentless circling, Sri Krishna, the origin of everything, pushed down Kaliya's raised shoulders and mounted his broad serpentine heads. Thus, Lord Sri Krishna, the original master of all fine arts, began to dance. His lotus feet, deeply reddened by the touch of the numerous jewels upon the serpent's heads. Purport. Sri Hari Vamsa states, Shira Sakrishno Jagraha Swa Hastenanubhammaya. Krishna grabbed Kaliya's head with his hand and forced it to bow down. Most people in this world are quite reluctant to bow down to the Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth. In the contaminated state called material consciousness, we conditioned souls become proud of our insignificant position and are thus reluctant to bow our heads before the Lord. Yet just as Lord Krishna forcibly pushed Kaliya's heads down and thus defeated him, the Supreme Lord's energy, in the form of irresistible time, kills all conditioned souls and thus forces them to bow down their arrogant heads. We should therefore give up the artificial position of material life and become faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, enthusiastically bowing at his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Lord Krishna's lotus feet became red like copper because of their contests with the numerous hard jewels upon the heads of Kaliya. Lord Krishna, with those glowing reddish feet, then began to demonstrate his artistic skill by dancing on the unsteady, moving surface of the serpent's hoods. This extraordinary demonstration of dancing skill was meant for the pleasure of the young women of Vrindavan, who at this phase of their relationship with Krishna were seriously falling in love with him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Feeling great compassion for the residents of Vrindavan Dham. Seeing the condition of Mother Yashoda, Sri Nanda Maharaj, Sri Radhika, and Gopis, the Gopas, the cows, the birds, peacocks, parrots, the insects, the trees, the creepers, and every blade of grass. In Chintamani Dham, everything is animate. Everything has consciousness. Even the very ground and the dust. They are conscious living beings, anxious for the opportunity to offer pleasurable service to the Lord. So the whole of Vrindavan was cast into this great ocean of distress, seeing the helpless condition of their friend, their lover, their only shelter, Sri Krishna. And Lord Sri Krishna, allowing this insignificant demon serpent, Kaliya, to keep him in a captive, imprisoned state for so many hours, did so simply to increase the affection of the Brijvasis and to demonstrate to all the world how the nature of the love of the devotees is that they care not to live without Krishna. Krishna is their life, their soul, their everything. When one surrenders to Krishna, one becomes like the fish in the sea. The fish within the sea is utterly dependent at every moment on the water of the sea for their survival. In the same way, when we dive deeply into the infinite sea of Krishna's love and we surrender to that love, we cannot live even a moment without it. It is a fate that appears worse than death to forget Krishna for even a moment. This is the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. To always forget Krishna. I mean, to always remember Krishna. And to never forget Krishna. a devotee of the Lord, this is his only fear in all of creation. A devotee who is raised to the standard of proper faith does not fear physical pain, does not fear infliction or persecution to one's body or to one's prestigious position, does not feel poverty, does not fear being rebuked even by one's most intimate loved ones. Srila Madhavendra Puri, he prayed like this: ever since I have tasted the sweetness of Krishna's devotional service, I do not care. People are laughing upon me. They are criticizing me. They think I'm crazy, fool. What is he doing? Let the whole society say what they want. But my mind is finding unlimited satisfaction simply remembering the loving service of the Lord. But a devotee has one fear: that he may forget Krishna for a moment. Sahani sthan maha chidram so moha satcha vibrama yan mahuratam chanam bhapi vasudevam nachindaya. A devotee considers that even the most insignificant second, even a twelfth of a second, a moment in forgetfulness of Krishna is the greatest loss and the greatest misfortune in all of the creation. So here we find the Brijvasis, whose lives were at all times an offering of sacrifice on the altar of Sri Krishna's lotus feet. It appears that their beloved is about to be taken away from them, never to be seen again. So Krishna, how merciful he is upon us, that he enacts this wonderful pastime simply to demonstrate what we should all be aspiring for in our life. This Brijvasi spirit, this consciousness where nothing means anything without Krishna. Yugayatam nimeshe na chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahenam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated this quality in his prayer that, my Lord, where are you? In separation from you, a moment appears like 12 years or more. And this whole creation, the whole universe, everything, is nothing but a dreary void, bereft of your divine vision. Foolish people are always seeking in this fool's paradise happiness, pleasure, meaning to life through the objects of the senses in this world, thinking if I can get some nice house, if I can get some nice clothes, some nice car, some nice money, some nice reputation and popularity, if I have these things, there will be some enjoyment in my life. Let me go save up lots of money so I can take my family on this vacation to see these mountains or to see this form of entertainment, to go to this place, that place. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that this in jagat saravam, sunyayatam jagat saravam, this entire universe is like the driest, most terribly naked desert. It is bereft of any luster, bereft of any meaning, bereft of any purpose at all. without Krishna. Such a prayer gives us the understanding that everything within this creation, its beauty and its glory, is only insofar as it can be used for the service and the glorification of Sri Krishna. And a devotee sees anything, whatever it may be, whoever they may be, without engaging in the devotional service of Sri Krishna, that thing is like something that has ascended from hell. It has no beauty. It has no promise for pleasure. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This should be the aspiration of a real Vaishnava. That Krishna, let me have this consciousness. That you are the be-all, the end-all of every aspect of my life. Nathe vidusvarat katim hivishnum. That you are my only goal. To please you, to serve you, to love you, to be in your divine presence. And my Lord, nothing in this world is worth anything. It is all utterly useless, worthless, bondage without you, my Lord. So here we read the beautiful descriptions of Vrindavan. Wonderful waterfalls, beautiful kalpa vriksha trees that fulfill all of your desires with so many wonderful, wonderful fresh luscious fruits. So much opulence Nanda Maharaj had with his 900,000 cows and so much milk and so much sweet, tasty butter and foodstuffs all around. And everyone, although they lived a very simple life, they had all of their requirements in such abundance, and they were all such pious, such pure-hearted and loving people. Can you imagine what Vrindavan was like? We read the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. It was really, really and truly the supreme paradise. Yet the residents of Vrindavan, to them, Vrindavan, it had no attraction, it had no appeal without the presence of Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, and when Swarup Damodar Goswami, his Guru Maharaj, left this world, he was in this mood of separation. Although he was living in the beautiful forests of Vrindavan, he was praying that in the absence, in the separation of my Lord, my heart is burning like fire, and everything around me seems like it is coming to destroy me. He said, when I look at Govardhan Hill, that beautiful, lustrous hill that is full of so much vegetation, that is so much full of so many beautiful waterfalls, animals, beauty beyond description. In the absence of my Lord Sri Chaitanya, this hill appears to be like a gigantic serpent about to devour me. This is how the devotee who has surrendered his life to the Lord, this is how he is thinking. He Radhe Brajadeva Kecha Lalite He Nanda Suno Kataha Sri Govardhana. It is described that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, when they were in their mood of separation from Sri Krishna, they would simply be wandering through the groves at Radha Kund at Govardhan near the banks of the Jamuna, simply calling out,
Oh, Sri Radharani, where are you? Oh, Sri Nanda Sutta Shyam Sundar, where have you gone? A devotee, always looking, seeking, aspiring for Krishna. So the residents of Braj Bhumi, what is their condition? Lord Sri Krishna is about to be taken away from them. They cannot bear the imminent death to their own hearts. So Krishna, after revealing the supreme glory of the love and devotion of the Brijavasis, he wants to display his supreme opulence. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashasya jnana vairagya yoschaiva sanam bhaga itim gana. Today in this world, if someone is a very artistic person, they attract the minds of so many people. It's like in the Western world. I was recently in Bombay, and I was too much surprised that the children of this house, they were glorifying one famous singer of the West who sings all erotic songs about sex life and who dances. He's very famous for a dancing. When he performs, hundreds and thousands of people come just to see him dance. And even children in India, they were asking, if when we come before the deities, can we do this type of dance that we learned from watching his videos here in Bombay? So you see, the whole world is attracted by some insignificant little jivatma who somehow or other can move his passionate body in so many ways just to excite people's lusty desires. Very famous. But Sri Krishna, he is revealing that this is all nothing but a perverted reflection. It is a fact. All the hundreds and thousands, all the millions of people all over the world that spend their hard-earned money going to see this greedy person and going to buy his videos and everything else just to see him dance, it is simply a perverted reflection of the soul's hankering, longing to see Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. But we do not have to pay anything. Just by hearing this narration, we can witness within the core of our hearts the beautiful dance of Sri Krishna. But what kind of dance? No one can imitate such a dance. Krishna, after pushing down the hoods of Kaliya to show that whether you like it or not, Kaliya, everyone has to surrender to me sooner or later. He forced him to bow down at his lotus feet, just as the Supreme Lord in the form of time ultimately forces everyone to bow down at his lotus feet. And then, very gracefully, he began to dance on the heads of Kaliya. And you know, a serpent's head, it is very slippery. Huh? Very, very slippery. And very curved. There's no flat parts on a serpent's head. And they were moving violently, ferociously, with great, great speed. And all of these hundreds of heads with fire pouring out of their mouths were trying to bite Krishna, to burn Krishna, to destroy Krishna. And yet Lord Sri Krishna, very pleasingly, gracefully, was performing such a dance that this world has never seen, displaying his divine supreme opulence, showing all the residents of Vrindavan that you have nothing to fear. I am Krishna. Huh? See what I can do with this insignificant snake. All of the great power, all of the egoistic ideas that the demons have of how great they are and how much they can control, Krishna wants to show them all how insignificant they are in his divine presence, simply dancing upon their heads. Similarly, in this world, even the greatest conquerors, in the form of time, Krishna is simply dancing upon their heads. And just as we are about to read, Kaliya, little by little, is getting weaker and weaker and weaker by the dancing of Krishna's lotus feet. But Krishna's lotus feet, how wonderful, although they were moving so gracefully. You know, a good dancer is someone whose feet appear to be very light, very light-footed. Huh? When someone dances and the whole floor shakes, boom, 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 nobody likes. But if someone dances with their feet very, very light, everyone thinks, oh, how nice. Krishna was dancing, and he was dancing in such a way that his lotus feet were moving so beautifully and so fast and so effortless that everyone who saw it and everyone who hears it was finding great, great pleasure and delight. But for Kaliya, every time even the beautiful lotus-like toe of Krishna would touch his head, it felt like millions of thunderbolts crashing into his brain, crushing his skulls. Huh? It is a fact. It is said that the Supreme Lord, and he also empowers his representative in the same way, that he is stronger than a thunderbolt and softer than a rose. Here we find a wonderful example of this. To the devotees, Sri Krishna's dancing, his feet were soft like roses. How soft Krishna's feet are. That the gopis, they were thinking that Krishna's feet are so soft that the tiny little pebbles, even the grass in the ground, may damage them when he walks, because they're so soft, so soft. And they were thinking that our breasts, when we try to satisfy our desires by putting Krishna's feet upon them, we are very afraid that we are hurting him because his feet are so soft. So for the devotee, Krishna's feet are millions and billions of times softer even than a rose. And when Krishna was dancing upon Kaliya, the devotees of Vrindavan, they all had a particular loving relationship with Krishna's lotus feet. And they were seeing these feet like beautiful roses, so delicately, so intricately, just dancing. But those same soft, soft rose petal-like feet of Krishna, to Kaliya, every time they touched him, they were like powerful thunderbolts demolishing him with their terrible, terrible, painful inflictions. And it is a fact. Ye yatamam prabhajyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu varatante manusya parate sarvasha. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. If you approach Krishna with humility and devotion,
then his lotus feet are so soft, and they are so soothing, and they give the ultimate pleasure to your heart. But when you are envious, when you have misplaced desires, and you want to control, lord it over, what is Krishna's, then those same lotus feet, when they dance upon us in the form of time, gradually they exhaust, they deplete all of our energy, and ultimately they bring us to our death. Is there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you are speaking about the topmost love of the Prajavasis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also saying the same thing, that we are ready to do anything and everything for Krishna, and we should not aspire anything for ourselves, and all this world is just like a sunya vritam. Same thing with Raghunath Das also. Now this doubt comes in our mind that we would not be able to reach to that level, although we might be trying, we might be striving. But you will not be reaching in this birth itself that to that topmost level of pure love and ready to do anything and everything for Krishna. Now, if we are not able to reach to that level, is it so that we have to come once again and again and again in this material world and suffer and suffer and suffer? So, to reach to that level, this life will not be our life's last life. Although we might be striving, we might not be able to reach to that level. So we have to go on coming again and again and again, or Krishna will have some concession for us and will take us back to God.
You cannot reach this level. No one can reach this level. What does reach mean? You can reach out through your determination, humility, and surrender. You can reach out, but you cannot reach. But when Krishna is pleased upon you, by his causeless mercy, he reveals these sublime realizations in our life. When we are under the modes of the three gunas, when we are under the influence, it appears utterly impossible to be in such a transcendental state. Daivihesu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante mayam etadharantite. But by Krishna's causeless mercy, if we simply surrender to him, all of these realizations are revealed. So what should your consciousness be? Simply to surrender. We see the exalted condition. We follow in the footsteps of these great souls. We cannot imitate, but we must follow in their footsteps. What does that mean, to follow in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? To see clearly that this world without devotional service to Krishna is only pain, it is only misery, is only death, Martya Loka. But the same world, in remembrance of Krishna, it is Vaikuntha. So we should simply be seeking the opportunity for Krishna's service everywhere, at all times. And we should be afraid to death of forgetting Krishna. We should remember that trying to find pleasure in this dreary desert of death is suicide. This is what it means to follow in the footsteps, to hear the instruction and apply it to our life. And by doing so, we surrender. This is what it means to surrender. And that is our aspiration, to surrender, to do the will of the Lord, to be the servant of His servants, to accept the guidelines of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and simply to make that my life and soul, my be-all and end-all of life. Everything else is an illusion. We don't care for it. We don't care for the prestige of this world. We don't care for the wealth and the pleasures of this world. We only want to please Krishna. Whatever it takes. Whatever we have to accept or renounce, we'll do it for Krishna. That you can do now. Can you not? If you want it. That's all you have to do. If you do that, Krishna will reveal to you. Whether He reveals these realizations in this life, or whether He brings you to Gokula Vrindavan where you are born with these realizations, that is for Him to decide. But if you surrender everything to Krishna and to His servants with a sincere heart, you are guaranteed 100% to enter into the realm of these loving relationships. Krishna wants you in these loving relationships millions of times more than the jivatma can possibly desire himself. He's just waiting for the chance to give you entrance. He's just waiting for us to just cast aside all these foolish, petty, illusory attachments that we're clinging to in this world, so He can open the doors to the spiritual world, the abode of divine love, of infinite joy. Is there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, if we don't want to change a desire, is Krishna's mercy so powerful that He can change a desire in spite of not wanting to change the desire?
Krishna's mercy is so powerful that despite His supremely all-attractive form and His supremely all-attractive his loving manifestation in the form of Radha Gopinath, the holy name, the association of Vaishnavas, devotional service, the supreme peace, the supreme joy, despite being right in front of us, His incredible power is, if we don't desire, He'll just make it all seem troublesome. Huh? That is His power. Like a burden. I have to chant. All the glory, beauty, and sweetness of the Supreme Absolute Truth is within His name, but if you don't have proper desire, it's a burden to chant it. You don't even want to chant it. Just as Krishna danced upon the Kaliya's head, millions of times more beautiful than that is when He is dancing with Sri Radharani. And He's standing before us right now today, dancing with His beloved Sri Radhika. And yet we are thinking, when will class end? When will RT end? So I can go home. Huh? This is the power of Krishna's Maya. If we surrender to Krishna, He will steal our hearts away from this illusory energy of Maya. But you must have the desire. You must do those things that will cultivate that desire, which means you have a desire for that desire. If you do not have the desire for that desire, Krishna will allow you to remain in darkness, birth after birth after birth. But if you have a desire for that desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire. But what does it mean to desire? God helps those who help themselves. It means to accept things favorable for devotional service and reject things unfavorable for devotional service. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. If we continue to associate with materialistic people,
and we do not take shelter of the association of devotees, what, you say anything. What is the use of such desire? That means you don't want the desire. If you're willing to perform the tapasya of chanting your rounds every day, no matter how difficult it is, and following the regular principles, even though it's so inconvenient, that shows Krishna that we have a desire for that desire. And in due course of time, he will definitely fulfill that desire.
But especially so during the deity worship, sometimes I feel that I just don't have a desire to do it. And sometimes I feel that what should be put first, doing other services perfectly so that you get a taste for deity worship, or you do deity worship so nicely that you get the taste for other services. So what is the way out? Sometimes you don't feel like you, and you feel especially embarrassed that I don't have the love, I don't have the desire, but still I have to do the offerings or do the aarti. So I think I should first prepare myself, have that service attitude, nice service attitude, and then...
What is the need of a guru? What is the need of taking shelter of the association of devotees if you're thinking like this? What do you know? The first thing that you must know is that you do not know. You simply surrender. You simply submit. The process of deity worship is a regulative principle to purify your life. Don't put the cart before the horse. Don't think, let me be a pure, spontaneous, loving servant of the Lord, then I will worship Him. It is by trying to please Him in the situation, in the state of mind that you are in now, with the proper desire, the desire to become pure through worshiping the deity. That is how we become pure. Actually, everything is within the name of God. You're chanting the holy name every morning without fail, are you not? The main purpose of worshipping the deity is to assist the purification of the consciousness so that we can properly chant the holy name. Our ultimate worship is when we are having kirtan and japa. And the archa puja that we are doing, it must be done with great care and great attention according to regulative principle. We do it as an austerity to regulate our life, to purify our life, to develop the qualities of punctuality, cleanliness, attentiveness, and all these qualities, as they develop through worshiping the deity, they will be a great assistance in helping us better chant the holy names. So maybe I should be doing something else instead. That is not for you to decide. The question is, what are you asked to do? This is the mental platform. Whatever you're doing, we can always, well, maybe I should be doing something else instead. The mind is always accepting and rejecting. Therefore, we must regulate our mind and regulate our life by accepting the guidance of the spiritual master. Through worshipping the deity sincerely, according to his instructions, he is training us how to serve Krishna. He is training us how to become pure devotees of Sri Krishna. We are worshipping the deity for the pleasure of Krishna and for the pleasure of Guru. And what gives them pleasure is we are obediently, submissively doing it for their pleasure. whatever you feel like. Our concern is purifying the heart beyond these sentimental, mundane feelings. Our concern is how I can best serve. Whether I feel like this or that, how can I best serve?